Alrighty, hello, another Buccaneer Kickoff, Bucks Kickoff Podcast, only on the biggest, baddest, badass, best source for Buccaneer news and information, JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Rock Roddy, and here we go. I've been inside one Buck all week. You know, there's these insiders. I'm an insider, insider. Yeah, you're getting your stuff off the internet. Maybe I should call myself One Buck Insider. Whatever. I give you in-depth what I have seen, what I have heard all week long. Give you the Houston game plan for this game. This one at NRG Stadium, 1 o'clock kickoff. Both teams are coming in, man, 3-4. All right. They're very, very similar when you break down the stats. The Buccaneers would have an advantage with a veteran quarterback. You don't have a new head coach with a brand new system. Yeah, you do on offense. DeMeco Ryans has done a nice job. As a matter of fact, Todd Bowles at one time coached DeMeco Ryans, but the Buccaneers need this win so bad. How bad do they want it? That's the thing with me. Now, look, I remember years and years and years ago being inside that locker room at the old One Buck, and one of the reporters came up to the A-Train, Mike Allstott, and he said, "Hey, Mike." "Yeah?" "How do you get pumped up for a game?" And he's like, "We don't bang our heads in lockers. This isn't high school. This isn't a movie. This is the NFL. You know, I might play something to get me going." So I realized that being at the facility on Monday and at Wednesday and on Thursday and then Friday, it's basically just a walkthrough. I understand that they're not going to be like, "Rah, rah, and we got to kick ass." But from the interviews, from going around the locker room to listening, I haven't heard any of the players say that we're just pissed off, that this is a win we have to get. We're going to go all out. Like, I didn't hear it. Maybe Shaq Barrett, who is pretty darn honest. Outside linebacker Shaquille Barrett said, we are just not playing good. We got to be better. We are better than this. We're beating ourselves. Now, a lot of the players this week were talking about the mistakes and penalties, and when you're behind the eight ball, putting yourself in such a bad situation, even for really, really, really good teams, it's hard to get wins. But why? Why are the mistakes? Why the false snaps? Why the miscommunication? Why at this point in the season? I wasn't expecting miracles. The GOAT is gone. They had over $50 million that they had. They were over the salary cap. This is what you get. I understand that. However, there are other teams that have had new head coaches and are playing better. So, you know. Oh, and I also want to say hello. When I say the biggest, baddest, best website, it is in the world. I know we have some fans over in the UK. Hello, Bucks UK. How you guys doing? I know those that are watching on NFL Game Pass in Switzerland and Austria and Luxembourg are all tuning in here to JoeBucksFan.com. Everybody knows about JoeBucksFan.com. If you are a Buccaneer fan, you want information. Hey, by the way, this podcast is being brought to you by today, our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. Beautiful, beautiful showroom, beautiful, beautiful. 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry in Tampa. It has been family owned since 1960. And if you are in business with one family since 1960, you are doing a lot right. Owning family owned does make a difference. GM Sean Sullivan is the man. Ask for Sean Sullivan. He will help you personally. All you have to do is ask. You can find his email very simple at BillCurryFord.com or just stop in at the dealership. Order a new vehicle now at BillCurryFord.com and it's so easy. You got an ordering concierge that will help you along. There's no deposit and GM Sean Sullivan, on top of all that, is going to give you a $500 gift card just for placing your order. And make sure to ask for the Joe Bucks Fan discount. And you will get it. Every new vehicle at Bill Curry Ford comes with a nationwide lifetime warranty. BillCurryFord.com. Sean Sullivan is your guy. You won't be disappointed. All right. So going into this game, here's another thing too. You know, beautiful week. No bad weather. Oh, the grass, the facility. I mean, no problems. They're healthy. Buccaneers are as healthy as they have been the entire season. It is only left guard Matt Filer. He's out. So Aaron Stinney's going to be the guy. And defensive lineman Logan Hall is out. That's it. And Fowler was walking around. He had the brace on. You didn't expect him. Has he really been that great anyway? Texans have been beat up. Running back Damian Pierce, who really has not had a great year. But anyway, he's out. Devin Singletary is going to be the main guy. Wide receiver Robert Woods out. Tight end Brevin Jordan, he is out. The offensive line has been banged up all season long. Probably their most consistent guy is the Shaq Mason, who was here, and the Buccaneers let him go. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but I'm just looking, you know, safety Antoine Winfield told the team, after the last home loss to the Falcons, he brought everybody together. Listen up. How great do you want to be? You say you want to be great. You're not playing like you're great. Come on, we know we're better than this, all this. A lot of the players, we needed to hear that. That didn't do squat. They were not good at all. They were dominated in that Buffalo Bills game. All right, so that didn't help. I'm just looking at, you know, how bad, really? Maybe that's what they need. They need something. They need something. I found out that Stephon Diggs, in the locker room pre-game last week, last Thursday night, told him off his team. And they got them so fired up that McDermott even said after the win, he set the tone. Josh Allen, who had been criticized for not having enough, you know, passion, energy, not having the work done, not going through the progressions, being a little bit lazy. He was fired up. They came out fired up. That's what I want to see. It's got to take somebody. Where's it coming from? I know Bruce Arians was in charge, he's not going to put up with three losses in a row. I'll tell you that right now. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to give you my under the rock. If you're new to this this podcast, I do an under the rock. What I've seen, what I've heard. And again, I had more time there this week. I was there all week because they had an extra practice on Monday. But Bucs 3-4, Houston 3-4. Buccaneers right now are a half game behind the Saints and the Falcons. 6 out of the next 8 are on the road, including this one. But the Buccaneers have been playing a little bit better on the road. Baker Mayfield played here in Houston in the stadium one time. It was back when he was with the Browns. It was 2018. He threw for damn near 400 yards, career high 397. However, he threw 3 picks on 3 drives in a row in the second quarter, and the Browns ended up losing to the Texans 29-13. But again, that's years ago. I'm looking at right now. They still have his back. There's no squawking. There's no behind the scenes. There's no groups that I've seen in the locker room, anything like that. It's still early enough in the season, but I just want to see urgency. And I will get to that because I actually asked that to Bowles. The Buccaneers defense, this veteran-led defense with a few young acquisitions should be playing better, but they've been on the... You know, the offense hasn't been helping them out. But the Buccaneer defense can't get off the field on third down. Now, the Texans defense is 23rd in pass defense. They're 27th in their third down defense, allowing close to 45% conversion rate. So the Texans defense, they're decent up front. They're not that good. If there's ever a game where we're going to find out who this Buccaneer team is, this is it. This is it. Backs against the wall. 3 losses in a row. A team that is not going up against a team that you should be able to beat with a rookie quarterback. All right, let me get you to, this is not, I'm your one Buc insider now here. Let me get you to what, this isn't, everybody else do a lockdown podcast, these podcasts, they're in different states. They're only getting their stuff off the internet. Great tape. I'm going to tell you what I've seen, the vibe that I'm feeling, all right? Monday, extra day. Normally, Monday, it's only Bowles talks. We don't get to go over in the locker room. We don't get to go out there. They basically do a little walkthrough. They get the lactic acid out. They get on these machines. But now since they were off, it was kind of like a little bit of almost like a mini bye week. A lot of the players said they feel good. Again, they're totally healthy. They have no excuse. They've already had their break bye. They get like the little mini bye now. It was a very, very, very low-key regular practice. It wasn't a walkthrough. It was a regular practice. And it was Strand walking in. They have these big speakers right near the gate where we walk in. And they were blasting Michael Jackson's Thriller. Now, the players usually pick the music. I talked to the one guy. He's like, oh, I just pushed the buttons, man. I said, you're doing a good job. And he's like, I just pushed the buttons. I don't make any mistakes. Once in a while, you'll hear an old school. That's one of the coaches. The coaches ask the players, hey, man, can you let us just bring it back a little bit? Can we play something that we're familiar with? But it's usually, it's hip hop, it's rap. And they were playing Michael Jackson's Thriller. Baker Mayfield all week. He's got this sleeve on his left leg. If you didn't hear, it started back in the, I think he said the Saints game. He re-aggravated it. It's his knee. It's just pain management. He looks when he runs. He's fine. There's no limp. I was watching all of his throws all week. Throws are on money. No big thing, but it's just to give him an extra little bit of a little bit of help there with a sleeve on his left knee. When we got in the locker room on Monday, very low key, the lowest key that I've ever seen it. There was no card game going on. There was nobody playing chess. It's the first time I've seen that all year. No music blasting, just kind of like a very low key start to slowly get your body back. Kind of a Monday. And Shaq Barrett was one of the guys that talked on Monday. He claims defensively they've really had one bad game, and that was against Philly. That's what he said. But he said we're self-inflicting these problems. It's all us. And we're not playing good, man. We got to play so much better. Okay. Tuesday was an off day. Wednesday, we come back a little bit more upbeat. Once the whistle sounded, what happens is they do all their stretching. Boom, they all come together. 1, 2, 3, say go box. Boom, they blow the whistle. They were hooting and hollering. Now, granted, it was one of those days here in Tampa Bay where it was actually like 65 degrees in the morning. Some of them are wearing long sleeves, like some of the, you know, South guys from the South. Coaches, not Canales, shorts, t-shirt. You coming from Seattle? He doesn't think this is cold. In the 60s, I don't think it's cold either. I was wearing my shorts all the other day. But anyway, maybe it was that, but I noticed once they broke and went to their position groups, they were a little bit more upbeat than I had seen them. Okay, I thought that was pretty cool. Everything else was pretty much, it was a normal thing. Once we got back in the locker room, you got the guys playing chess. 3 boards are being used. Card games going on down at the end. Some of the players on offense, including Rashad White and Bowles, and later, well, Canales. I'll get to Canales, and he has a separate section here on this Bucks kickoff podcast. They were saying, even the O-line, they are seeing improvements in the run game, slowly. That's what they were saying. But no motivating speeches, nothing. Everything was normal. Most of the players were admitting that they were beating themselves. Oh, and by the way, we do see the punt return, the punt team. Again, they're not kicking off. And when we're watching, and it's the same two, it is Trey Palmer and it's Devin Tompkins, are your return guys. And I'm telling you, man, they look so fast. When's somebody going to return one? When are we going to get that? When are we going to get that spark? I'm saying it's going to happen. When? They did pump in the crowd noise. But again, oh, and Tristan Wirfs is looking just totally fine. I know there was a question. His participation, he looks fine to me. He's fine. He's ready to go. And the big Vita Vea, same thing from what I saw. They even hit the blocking bags and things like that. He looks fine. They need him. There is a noticeable difference because they are opposing teams. Like in this last game, man, the Buffalo Bills. Oh my God! Even the Falcons, especially when Vita's not there, just blowing open holes, and it helps Vita. And that helps so much with Vita in the middle, stuffing it, and then forcing them to run. That is a huge, huge key. Thursday, cool temperatures once again. Mike Evans, one-on-one, he works with the trainer. He's done that for the last couple of seasons. And this week, Antoine Winfield was also working one-on-one with the trainer. I will tell you this, too. It's not a big thing. John Wolford, who is the quarterback three, QB3, he was signed to the active roster. There were reportedly a couple of teams that were interested. He is a little guy. If you think Baker Mayfield is short, he's short. Not Kyler Murray short, but they do these drills where the quarterbacks, they're far down, a little different than what Clyde Christensen used to do with Brady. They do try throwing real quick. Boom, snap, boom, boom, boom. They got a couple of throws. I think it's three throws into the net. They have this big net. There's three squares, and they try to hit it. All the quarterbacks are fairly accurate. Wolford is very accurate. He hits almost every single time. They were doing also the rollouts, the deep corner shots. When they were doing the deep corner shots, though, Baker was long, and especially Trask was long. This was no defender there. They were working on it, working rollout and throwing deep into the corner. Joe Tryon Choyinka, I notice he has been working like a little extra. He works on his moves before the practices start. He's the one that even sets up the blocking dummy. So he's putting in a little extra work. When's he going to finish? Kalijah Kancey, same thing. He works a little bit extra. They're doing that mind, that simulation thing, visualization, working on a little extra moves where you get the other veterans that are just like, okay, I've been here so long, man, I'm going to conserve my energy for the practice. Again, no Logan Hall, no Matt Filer. Didn't see them at all. Hall came out quick, didn't practice. But again, those two guys are out. Now, so the thing about for this podcast this week on Bucks Kickoff podcast here on Badass Joe Bucks Fan, where's the urgency? Like, I got the urgency to do this one this week. It's three losses in a row. The NFC South sucks. You were 3-1. That wasn't a fluke. I remember Joe Bucks Fan writing about it. Oh, who have they played? Great line on Joe Bucks Fan. Oh, should the Bucks petition to not count it to Roger Goodell because the teams that weren't good, Vikings ended up being pretty good. Look, a win is a win in the NFL. They were 3-1. That wasn't a fluke. This is also not a fluke now, the way they're playing. To me, it's been regressing. And this is a team you should be able to beat, the Houston Texans. My God. Oh, I'll get to my quote. Basically, Bowles said, we always, he answered real quickly, you know, we always play with urgency. It's not that. It's playing smarter. Stop making these mistakes. Okay. All right. If it's not about urgency, wait till I start giving you the stats on the first quarter of games. It's horrendous. Why is that? Now, there was also, if you go to the Bucks YouTube or website or social media, however, you probably heard a lot of questions about the tush push that the Eagles use. I heard one guy on a podcast that is like, oh my God, it was the main question. That's all everybody was talking about. Well, what happens is you get one reporter that's doing a feature on one thing. And then he's going to ask that question to coaches and players. And it's always in the sound or the video. If it's coming like from the Bucks that you're hearing, you're thinking, oh my God, what's the big thing? It's one guy that's doing a feature. he's asking a lot of people, and it's being recorded, and you think that that's the main thing. So it's Kevin O'Donnell. He's been with Fox 13 for a long time. He's been doing it, and he's been asking it now for 2 weeks about the tush push. And though it's the same thing. Oh, it looks like it's a good play. Yeah, well, if somebody can stop it, they'll stop it. You know, that type of thing. No big thing. Well, when he asked Dave Canales in the press conference on Thursday, Canales said, oh, yeah, we're working on it. And that was it. So then we go in the locker room, and O'Donnell asks Wirfs, so, Canales, what do you think of the tush push? And I swear to God, I was right there. You watch his eyes, you watch his mannerisms, and it was like, what? Oh, the thing that the Eagles do? It's been around forever, man. It's a quarterback sneak. We ran it X amount of times when we were in Iowa. Yeah, no, it's quarterback sneak. What? Well, you're working on it? He's like, I don't know. It honestly sounds like maybe behind the scenes, Canales, we're working on it, like he's trying to figure it out. But I don't even honestly think that they have practiced it because there hasn't been one. Now, when Vita Vea was talking to us, you know, Donald asked him about the tush push, and he's not a real great interview, Vita. I don't care. Listen, stuff to run, get to the quarterback, be a beast. That's all that matters. All right? Whether or not you're a good talker. He's not that good of a talker. He doesn't talk long. His answers aren't long. He's like, I'm QB1. Yeah, I'm going to be QB1. And that's all he said. But again, it wasn't like, no. Yeah. We've been working on it. So don't get too carried away with Canales saying we're working on it. He might be. And talking to the coaches, I don't think that actually they're physical enough and strong enough up front. Yeah, Vita, trying to stop Vita Vea running it. He was a running back in high school. That would be fun to see. But I just don't know if they're big enough and strong enough with a Hainsey, with a Cody Mauch, with the, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so Bucks head coach Todd Bowles, he was asked. Now, this one was actually after the loss, I believe. It was either after the loss or it was on Monday. You got the three losses now. They're starting to pile up. Are you concerned with the team about it snowballing, this getting away now? And his quote was, it won't snowball. We got a lot of leaders in the locker room. All of the leaders on the coaching staff, we have faith. We understand how tough we play. We just got to play smarter. You know what? To me, that doesn't mean anything. That talk is cheap. Show me. Show me in this game. Play smarter. If it's not about not worrying about it snowballing, not the urgency. Baker Mayfield, bottom line, no turnovers against the Vikings and the Bears. They played good in that opener at Minnesota. That's how they're going to win. They're not going to beat you in shootouts. They're not going to beat you in last minute, quick getting down the field in 2 minutes. This is not the GOAT, okay? Do not turn it over. Baker Mayfield's best game was at New Orleans. Buccaneers scored 26 points. Mayfield had 3 touchdowns in the red zone. 2 touchdowns, no picks last week in the loss to the Bills. It looked on paper if you didn't see the game. But the losses to the Eagles, the Lions, the Falcons, I mean, it's as of late. Baker, I don't know if Baker's pressing, but he's also been a part of the reason lately. Now, I am not one to call for Trask. I do not think that Trask can do any better at this point right now. Here on Bucks Kickoff, going into this game, at Houston, okay? Wide receiver Mike Evans, as I told you last week, to me, he does not seem happy. It's just my observation, okay? He's playing for $16.5 million this year. He wants $25 million and a long-term deal. There was the, I'm sure you all saw the quote from Jason Light when he was asked about Mike Evans, and I'm we love what he's doing here, and this and that. Look, Godwin is at $20 million. You know what I mean? He did have a hamstring. It wasn't close to 100%, but he was out there last week against the Bills, targeted 10 times, 4 catches, 49 yards. Now, PFF, if you go by PFF, they've got Evans down for 4 drops this season. I saw another one. They actually have him down for 5. I'm not so... Look, he's human. He gets double-teamed. He's not going to catch everything. That's going to happen. Okay, I'm not... 4 drops, you know... I'm looking for positives. Like, what's the positive right now? What is the positive on this team? What's the positive? You know, the first couple of weeks, defense, Baker Mayfield, you know, O-line, you know, no false starts on the road in Minnesota, loud. You know, what's the positive right now? You know what the positive is? Chase McLaughlin, and that's sad. Game winner, he hits a 57-yard field goal at Minnesota. A 57-yarder he hit at Buffalo. He's 3 for 4 on field goals longer than 50 yards or more. If that's the positive on the team. All right, let's continue here on Bucks Kickoff Podcast on the best website. I don't have to tell you. You know. You know. I'm at JoeBucksFan.com 20 times a day. Probably more. Let's delve into the Houston Texans. All right, who are the Houston Texans? Well, let me tell you. They are banged up on their O-line. Have been honestly all year. Rookie quarterback who has really not played like a rookie. Number 2 overall in the NFL draft, CJ Stroud. Now, he admitted, here's the thing. You got to read between the lines. If you just look, there were headlines. Oh, my God, he's self-evaluating. He needs to do this. He was asked during the week at a press conference, what do you need to work on? And he's trying to give an answer. He's not the GOAT. He's still a rookie. And he's looking to be the best. And so he said it's because he was asked. So many things. I'm trying to get down. I battle every week, not only getting footwork down, trying to get the offense better, all in tune with my mind, trying to get where I can remember everything and get out and play fast. I want to be smarter with the ball, better ball distribution, getting down, getting the ball out, taking the completions. No, he's just self-evaluating. And he also mentioned that, I don't know if it was this week or last week, you know, before the season, I don't know if you saw the video with Tom Brady. A billionaire flew out all the young quarterbacks, the Will Levis, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, all the young ones, and Brady was there. It was in a beautiful house, a mansion. There was all kinds of things for these guys. And CJ Stroud said he got a chance to talk to Brady. He locked in. The thing that he took away from it was you've got to be pushing it. You got to be studying. You got to be all in all the time for a long time. Like, you never let it down. You got to constantly keep working, studying, doing it. And he's like, wow, Brady was really, really good and honest with these guys. And he took a lot away from that. I think CJ Stroud is going to be one of the best men in the game. But let's just focus on this game, okay? How about this stat? CJ Stroud is number 1 in the NFL among all quarterbacks with the fewest picks. 1. For a rookie in the NFL that is not throwing picks at all, that against these veteran defensive coordinators, impressive. They've got the 12th lowest sack percentage in the NFL with sacks. He's been sacked 6 times. Now, back on the Buccaneer side, just for a minute. I found it here, and I wanted to make sure I got it right. That's my theme. I want to see the urgency, and I want to see it in the first quarter, in the beginning of the game. Don't be waiting around. This is not a Buccaneer team, man, that can turn it on and flip the switch offensively and move big chunks down the yard, down the field. So come out with urgency. So I'm like, I gotta ask. And I asked Todd. I was like, Todd, is there something that needs to be said about the urgency? You've lost three games in a row. This is a team in Houston that's 3-4. And here's Bowles' quote. We don't want to say urgency because we play with urgency. We've got to play smarter. We understand that every game is valuable to us. Focus back on the things that we do well. Well, then focus on it. What is it that you do well? Your defense is pretty damn good, right? Yeah. What do you do on offense? Take what's given. Baker's pretty good in the mid-range stuff. Okay. Do that. Do that. And then now and then take a shot with Evans. You know, and that's what it's going to have to be. If that's what you do well, you don't run the ball well, you're going to have to start running, but they haven't shown that they can do it. Now, I do believe in bring it. Bring it. Bring the blitz. Bring the blitz, because here's why. Yes, it's a young quarterback in C.J. Stroud. The Texans, don't give him time. The Texans have the 11th best passing attack in the NFL. He's going to go to Nico Collins, his go-to guy. He's going to get it. If he gets it to little Tank Dell, look out, man. He can make guys miss. He's got moves. He is fast. And I got some stats that I'm going to hit you up on with percentage. Here you go. All right? This is why I'm saying blitz. Blitz. I know a lot of times some, oh, you don't want, he blitzes too much. You're going to leave it the back open. And no, here you go. The Buccaneers are blitzing as a team right at just about 40%, 39% of the time on every pass play. That's the third highest in the NFL. Now, when C.J. Stroud is pressured, his passer rating is 70. When he is not pressured, it's 94.9. When pressured, C.J. Stroud's success rate is only 28.6, sack rate 16.5%. When he is pressured, he feels it. He's not that comfortable yet being able to already go through all the progressions, knowing who to go through yet. He's a rookie. So if you give him some time, he's going to carve you up. So they're going to have to get to him. I mean, okay, so I don't know if you saw any of the Houston Texans game last week. I'm sure if you're a Bucs fan, you saw that damn disaster in Buffalo. Jesus Christmas. Let's just start with the Houston Texans, okay? What have you done for me lately? Carolina came in 0-6. You can say, hey, they're going to win a game eventually. Well, this was the game that they won. It was a low-scoring game. Little Bryce Young, the rookie quarterback for Carolina, led the Panthers on a 15-play, 86-yard drive, which set up the winning field goal. Included in this drive. Now, remember, I'm telling you this because I want to give you a feel for the Houston Texans defense last week. In that 86-yard drive by Bryce Young, the rookie, 4th-and-2, a clutch 3-yard pass. There was tight coverage. I will say that. He did a nice job. He got it to Thielen. They didn't get it done in crunch time. C.J. Stroud, not a good game. Maybe you could say it was the play calling. Or you could say he looked like a rookie. 16-24, 140 yards, ran for one touchdown. The Houston Texans offense last week, only one play longer than 20 yards against a bad Panthers defense. I mean, go back to the last two games for the Carolina Panthers. Going into this game, they gave up 84 points and 12 touchdowns. Think about that. Carolina Panthers, the last two games before this one against Houston, gave up 84 points and 12 touchdowns. Houston Texans were bringing pressure on little Bryce Young. He hit a 40-yarder when he was pressured. He hit a 31-yarder. Is Bryce Young going to be decent by Carolina? But that's for another day. I don't really care about Carolina right now. Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans. A lot of people think this guy's going to be good. He did say this week in his press conference that opposing defensive coordinators now have film on C.J. Stroud. And DeMeco Ryans said, quote, he's going to have to keep growing and learning. I asked that to both Mayfield and to Canales, and they admitted that's part of it. Teams got film on you. They know exactly what Mayfield's strength and weakness is, the O-line's weakness. They know running game, what's Evans does, where's Godwin going, who's number three. Who's the number three wide receiver? Is it Rashad White? What happened there? So anyway, that's what opposing defenses do. Now, on that Bucs game last week, oh man. As I told you earlier, they came out so freaking fired up. Stephon Diggs gave him a talk. McDermott said, that keyed us in, that got us going. Josh Allen was fired up. That's what I want to see from Mayfield. Get them fired up. You know what? If it's going to come down to you, maybe it's you. Antoine Winfield talked to him. Who else is going to fire him up? Maybe this is the time that Bowles does it. Dude, something. Somebody. And not Devin White. Devin White hasn't been shown it. Josh Allen was 31 of 40, 324 yards. He went in to get checked in that medical tent in the second quarter with the shoulder. He came right back in. He ran for that 13-yard touchdown. But the first drive, they started. Here's the thing. The Bills started in the hurry-up offense. Why don't they do that? Why don't the Buccaneers come out and start in a hurry-up? Yeah, I know it's on the road. You were good in the first game against Minnesota. You did decently in that loud Superdome. You know, that will throw everybody off. I know you normally don't do that on the road, but I'm just trying to try something. But the Bills, yes, they were at home, but that first drive, he threw it over the middle. The tempo, they had to settle for a field goal. Buccaneers were lucky at that point. The Buccaneers offense, to me, it's just been out of sync. You know, they got going late, but it was too late. Mayfield hit Mike Evans, that 24-yard touchdown. They got the two-point conversion to Gade Otton. They took 7:21 off the clock. They were also helped out, if you remember, by a couple penalties. 17-play drive. They did go 92 yards. I'll give them that. But urgency, that's my thing. Urgency. That is my theme on this podcast. Bills were up by 6, 2:44 left. Mayfield throws the Hail Mary. It was from his own 45. No pass interference was called. Look, was it pass interference? Yes. Did they call it at that? No, they don't. And when we talked to Godwin, how much did that Hail Mary bother you? And he just went, oh, God. It was days. It bothered the hell out of him for a couple of days. But he put it past. And he also said the same thing. Like, shouldn't have put ourselves in that position. But even so, they don't call it. You know that. It's a Hail Mary. Throw it up. It's a scrum. Whoever comes down with it, it's going to be you. You got it. You got it. All righty. Let me give you my keys. My keys for this game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't get behind. This is not, even if I was a homer, I think a homer would tell you this is not a run and shoot catch up team. It is not. So don't get behind. Not enough offense to put up a lot of points quickly. Versus the Bills last week, once again, did not score in the first quarter. Against the Falcons, they actually scored a touchdown in the first quarter. But prior to that, the Bucs did not score a touchdown in the first quarter. Out of seven games this year, two times the Bucks scored in the first quarter and both games that they won. How about this stat? This is going to make you sick. The Buccaneers are averaging 1.9 points in the first quarter of every game this year. 1.9 in going into the second quarter. It's 29th. It's ahead of the Jets and the Giants. Now, the Jets are improving. The Giants are horrible. You want to be classified as a team just like the Giants? That's what you're doing right now offensively. The Bucs offensive line. Look, Cody Mauch at North Dakota State was not playing against top-notch competition. Cody Mauch is not big enough and strong enough at this point to hold his own. Even Canales admitted it. He is still a rookie learning, coming from small school and playing against smaller opposition. And he's going up against these guys bringing the power. And he's doing all that he can. But in the offseason, he's going to eat. He's going to put on muscle. He's going to get bigger. I think he's going to be okay, but I'm talking about right now for this game. Luke Getteke is going to be facing defensive end Will Anderson for the Texans. Wirfs is also going to be facing him. I'm not worried about Wirfs. Wirfs told us, he goes, God, he gets off quick. He gets a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. He's got a very quick get off. He's tough. And Wirfs even said it. And he goes, it's going to be up to Luke and I because they're going to move him back and forth. According to PFF, Will Anderson has allowed only one sack this season. And Tristan Wirfs, he's balling out. And even if the guy is at 70%, 80%, hell, 60%, he's still better than anybody else that the Buccaneers have. All right, so look. The Buccaneers do not give me confidence that they need this, want this so badly. I don't get it. I don't get the vibe. I'm hoping I am wrong. I'm hoping that they were just easing into this all this week. Bowles says it's not about urgency. It's playing smarter. The false starts. You didn't have them early in the season. There's no more excuses. You know, you might not have the depth. You were over the cap. You're going against a Houston Texans team with a rookie quarterback that's 3-4. Okay. You're supposed to be more talented on paper. There's quite a few Buccaneers that have Super Bowl rings, and it's not that long ago. You're not over the hill. There's not over the hill guys here. You can say, oh, Father Time has really hit them bad. Is anybody? Anybody you think that you say, Father Time, man, ooh, it's not looking good. This is it. No. No. Who? No. So, come out fired up. I'm fired up every week. I'm fired up every week to go to One Buck, to watch practice, to go in that locker room, to talk to people. I'm fired up. Come on, Buccaneers, get fired up. This has been Bucks Kickoff Podcast, 24 to 48 hours before every Buccaneer kickoff on the biggest, baddest, badass source for Buccaneer news in the world, JoeBucksFan.com. See ya.